Chapter 26, verses 64 through 65. We're continuing this idea of crossing over. And I'm going to get into this today. Numbers chapter 26, verse 64 and 65. I feel like I'm forgetting to say something. I don't know. Welcome to Red Life. My name is Justin. Welcome online. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. And we're going to dig in here today. Numbers chapter 26, verse 64. Says, not one person on the list had been among those listed in the previous registration taken by Moses and Aaron in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they will all die in the wilderness. Not one of them survived except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Not one of them survived except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this moment right now. I thank you for your presence, moving, ministering in our midst as we gather together today in your presence and around your word. And Lord, I thank you for your word being released to do exactly everything that you have purposed and intended and called for it to do. Lord, I think that you are moving us into a season out of the wilderness. You are moving some of us in our lives out of a wilderness season and into a season of crossing over and taking the promise that you have called us heavenly forward in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our feet, and prepare our hands for everything that that's going to entail in the next coming season, Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody put your hands on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus. If you're at home online with us, do the same thing. Follow along with us. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear. So I can do what you want me to do. And be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're talking about crossing over. Talking about crossing over. I'm looking at the book of Deuteronomy and around the end of Numbers, and we're going to be looking at Joshua a little bit and talking about this idea. And there came this moment, see, I want to make sure we're clear. There came this moment in the life of the Old Testament and the story of the Old Testament and the story of the people of Israel. And the reason this is relevant, so I thought we were New Testament believers. We're all about Jesus. That's true. But the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul says that it's around chapter 10, that the example and the story literally of the people of Israel coming out of bondage from Egypt, traveling through the wilderness to enter the promised land, that is an Old Testament type and shadow of what would be and what often would mirror and look like our spiritual journey from sin into freedom in Christ and ultimately one day into everything that God has called for us, including someday heaven. Amen. And so there are examples and there are parallels that we can draw from their physical journey for our spiritual journey. Amen. And so when we talk about crossing over, I do want to make sure we are not talking about like crossing over necessarily from death to life. This is not about like the afterlife or anything like that, because I know sometimes that language can be used. We are talking about crossing over from one season of dry desert wilderness, begging and believing and asking God for our very next step into a season where we begin to see some of the things that we've been working towards, praying for, believing God for, things that we've had God speak to us, being able to grab hold of those things and seeing those things take hold in our lives. Amen. And I want to make sure we're on the same page with that because me and Eric we were not on the same page when I began to share this with Eric. And in fact, Eric, one of the things he does around here is he does all the graphic work. He does all the stuff you see on social media, almost every aspect. He does a great job with it. Amen. And usually we're on the same page. Usually we are right in sync, and I just kind of say, hey, I'm doing this, and he usually comes up with something. I'm like, man, that's exactly, that's right on. But this time we had to talk a little bit because he sent me this initial graphic that was the most hideous graphic I'd ever seen for this. And literally 99 out of 100 times was like, yeah, that's perfect, man. Great job. Let's go with it. Let's make it happen. This one was like, I don't know. In fact, here's how much I hated the graphic. He sent me a picture of it on the text, and I hated it so bad, I didn't even bother to click on the thumbnail. I just looked at the thumbnail and was like, no, that's not at all what we're looking for, what I'm talking about here in this series. And here's why I thought, man, it was this picture. Here's what it was. It was actually a picture of a golden paved street with clouds around it, and it said crossing over. I thought from the thumbnail, it looked like the pyramid on the dollar bill that's got the eye on it. That's because of the way the perspective of the road was. And that's what I saw. I was like, what do we, no, that's not at all what we're like. This looks like, I said, this looks like we're unlocking the ancient mysteries of Egypt or something. That's not at all what we're talking about. And then he goes, well, it's a street paved with gold. And I said, oh, I get it. Crossing over, you thought I'm going to talk about heaven. You thought we're doing a series and teaching on heaven. So I understand. I was like, no, this is what we're talking about. I said, okay, so then we came up with something else. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page. We're not talking about life after death. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're not talking about the afterlife. We're talking about moving from where we are to the next thing that God has for your life. Amen? Amen. Crossing over. And in this moment, in the book of Deuteronomy, the people of Israel have been following Moses now through the wilderness for 40 years, and they're sitting on the banks of the Jordan River. And there comes a moment when the Lord speaks through Moses and says, you are about to cross over. And before you do, I want to remind you of what everything God has done, what God has said, and what God has called us to when we cross over. And I believe in the name of Jesus that we are in such a place, and I sense that in my life. I sense that for you. I sense that for this house. We are crossing over out of the desert into the promises of God. Amen, somebody? It's time to cross over. And in this tail end of the book of Numbers, Numbers is a difficult book, the book of Numbers begins with the first ever census of the people of Israel. And that's why it's called the book of Numbers, because it's Moses literally counting everything that had come out of Egypt. And it's a boring read, but there's some good stuff in there you've got to mind for and you've got to look out for. Don't just skip all of it. Amen? Okay? So here's the deal. The book of Numbers begins with the first census. This is at the very beginning of the wilderness journey. This is right after they come out of Egypt, and this is right before God says, go and take the land, and they don't do it, okay? And so then, here's what happens. So 40 years goes by, and then we have this second census, which is here what we read in Numbers 26. This is the second census 40 years after the people of Israel have been wandering around the wilderness. It's probably closer to about 38 years if you want to be exact with it. And this is what he said. He said he took this second census. I'm going to try not to say that very often so I'm going to get tongue-tied. He took this second census and realized after taking this census that everyone from the first census, wow, that's hard to say. Everyone for the first time they counted everybody, they were gone. They were dead. They had moved on. They weren't there anymore, okay? Why were they not there? Where did they go? Why did they die? Well, it's because here's what happened. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, just a few days after the people of Israel come out of Egypt, God said, go and take the land. I'm giving it to you. And you guys probably know the story. Many of you do from Sunday school. Remember this. The Bible says Moses sent out 12 spies into the land. 12 spies went throughout the land. They took an inventory. They saw it. The 12 spies came back. Everyone except Joshua and Caleb, who was part of that 12 spy group, 10 spies said, hey, there are giants in the land. There are great big fortified cities with walls that are feet thick of brick and concrete and rock. They said, there is no way that we, a bunch of former slaves, are going to be able to take this land. You must lost your mind, Moses. Joshua and Caleb said, hey, you know what? I think God will surely give us this land. And here's what happened. The Bible says in Numbers 13 and 14 that the 10 spies sowed so much fear and discouragement amongst the people of Israel that the entire nation decided we can't and we won't go. And when an entire generation said, we can't go, we're not going to go, we can't do it, we're not going to do it, we refuse to go. When an entire generation refused to follow the word of the Lord and do what God was calling them to do in that moment, God said, fine, none of you are going to go except Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to wait until this entire generation of I can't and I won't dies off, and I'm going to, here's the thing, listen to me close. The promise of God will outweigh my disobedience. If we refuse to be the people that God has called us to be, If I refuse to be the man of God that God has called me to be, if we refuse to pursue the promises of God and reach, encourage, and disciple like God has called us to, guess what? God will wait for us to move on and raise somebody else up in our place. Amen, somebody? Because what? Remember, the promise doesn't die in the wilderness. The promise didn't die in the desert. You know what died in the desert? I can't and I won't. What dies in the desert is a spirit and a mindset and an attitude that says, not only can we not win, but I'm not going to even try. I can't and I won't. And let me ask you a question. This is where it gets personal for me. What if there are some promises of God waiting for I can't or I won't to die off in my life? For God to release into my life. Amen? What if there are some things that you've been wondering, God, I know I heard you. God, I've been believing for this. God, I've been asking for this. God, I've been waiting for this. Well, what if what it's waiting on, what if it's waiting for me to get rid of the I can't attitude or the I won't attitude? What if there's some stuff waiting on that to be released in my life? Let me just give us this little advice here this morning. Listen, if we want to cross over and possess the promised land, if we want to receive the promises of God that God has for your life and make no mistake, God has an amazing plan, an amazing purpose, and a promise for your life. Amen, somebody? If I want to possess that, grab hold of it, lay hold of it. If I want to cross over out of the desert, out of the wilderness, into the promise, guess what? I'm going to have to kill I can't. I'm going to need to murder I won't so that the promise can live. Let me say that again. Kill I can't. Murder I won't, so the promise can live. Amen. An entire generation, based on the report of what some other people said, rather than what God said, decided we can't do it. An entire generation who had just, watch this now, who had just watched God deliver them from 400 years of bondage in Egypt with 10 wild plagues, an entire generation who had just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, somehow forgot all the stuff that God had just done over the last few months, and based on the report of what someone else told them, decided we can't do it. And then not only decide we can't do it, they said, you know what? We ain't going to do it. We're not going to go. We're just going to be stuck here in the middle. I tell you right now, I refuse. I, in the name of Jesus, refuse to live out my days on this earth stuck in the middle between Egypt and what I know God has called us to. Amen. I'm going to push. I'm going to kick. I'm going to fight. I'm going to pull. I'm going to drag by the skin. I don't care how mad everybody else. Listen, we're going to cross over in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen, somebody? Amen. But to do that, I'm going to have to kill I can't. I'm going to have to murder I won't so that the promise can live. Now, if you read the rest of this story in Numbers chapter 26, you'll see something here, and this is actually something that happens quite often through the wilderness experience in the people of Israel. The Bible says that this census was just taken after a plague. This is the cycle that happens in the wilderness. God would say, do something, or something would go wrong, and the people of Israel would complain and murmur, or they would get in rebellion. They wouldn't follow God. They wouldn't do what the Lord told them to do. And God, if you read the Old Testament story of Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'll see that God really punished them quite severely when they messed up. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we live under grace and we live under a new covenant in Jesus. Amen. I mean, I'm thankful that if I didn't wash my hands properly, 10,000 people don't have to die anymore because of the blood of Jesus. Amen, somebody. But that's the Old Testament. But this is interesting because the Bible says this similar story has just happened And the Bible says the wrath of the Lord broke out in the camp of the Israelites, and 26,000 of them had just been killed by this plague that was a result of their rebellion and their disobedience of the word of the Lord. And it's after this plague that God then instructs Moses to count them up again. Take another census. Number it up and see where you stand and see where we're at. And it was after 26,000 people died that they took another account and realized that was the last of them. It's painful and it's hurt. It hurts and we're mourning and we grieve the loss. But hold on now. That 26,000 was the last holdover of the I can't and the I won't. And I read through these stories of you know, and this happens all throughout the wilderness journey, 40 years in the wilderness. It's man, you made a wrong move and 10,000 people got punished for it. Somebody ran their mouth and 20,000 people. And this happens all the time. You're like, man, God, why does it seem like God is being so harsh and being so stubborn and just harshly disciplining them so hard? But wait a minute. Who are the ones being punished? Who are the ones dying off? What's happening through all this harsh discipline is that the I can't and the I won't generation is dying off because God was like, I believe the only explanation I can come up with is God was like, you know what? I'm going to accelerate this or else instead of 40 years in the wilderness, you're going to be 400 years in the wilderness, and I want your kids to experience the promises of God. And so I ask myself this question now. What if what looks like harsh discipline is actually promised preparation? What if like what looks like God judging me harshly and convicting me sternly and punishing me deeply and disciplining me hardly? What if what is actually happening through the discipline is instead of God just being mean, he's actually preparing me to receive and to walk into and to cross over into the promise? See, the New Testament says, you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, then even the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, says that no child, no punishment, no discipline at the time you're getting disciplined seems fun. Amen? But it's after you receive the discipline that you realize it was actually for your good. And in fact, Hebrews goes on to say, no father who actually loves his children will withhold discipline from them. Amen, somebody? And so what if instead of going, God, you're being so mean, God, you're being so cruel, God, it's not fair, God, why am I getting punished? Why do I feel bad? Why do you keep working on me? Why do you keep pulling things out of me? Why do you keep taking relationships away from me? What if all of that is just God simply saying, I'm going to kill, I can't, and I won't in you because the promise I have for you is too important, too big, and too in the books for me to allow you to carry on with I can't and I won't. I'm telling somebody today that God is not disciplining you harshly. He is preparing you for a great promise that he's going to blow your mind if you'll let God work. Thank God I got caught. Amen, somebody. Thank God I got convicted. Thank God somebody confronted me. Thank God somebody has loved me enough. Thank God my parents loved me enough to whip my tail when I needed it. Amen, somebody. Thank God the Holy Spirit won't let me alone long enough. Thank God the Holy Spirit won't let me lie and cheat and steal and live in sin. Thank God you have people around you who will speak into your life and confront you with the word of God, not in a hateful way, but in a loving way. Why? Because it's the confrontation. temptation. It's the conviction. It's the discipline that is preparing me to receive what God wants for me. It's conviction that's preparing me to cross over what looks like harsh discipline may actually be promise preparation. And during these 40 years, while an entire generation of I can't and I won't is dying off, there is something else being born in the wilderness. There is an entire generation that many of them know nothing of Egypt, know nothing of the 10 plagues, know nothing of the Red Sea. But while I can't and I won't was dying off, 26,000 at a time, if necessary, there is an entire other generation being born that was something totally different than I can't and I won't. And what the census brought, and the reason they numbered them after this last plague, was they looked around, and though that number that had just been counted and all those people they just counted up, that was a completely different group of people than the ones that originally said, we can't and we won't. Has anyone looked around your life recently and thought, man, things feel a lot differently than they did just a few years ago? Anybody recognize that? Has anybody looked around at your friends recently, looked around at what you're valuing recently, and looked around at what you're prioritizing and thought, man, my life, just even over the last couple of years, there's just something totally different about the way my perspective looks and what I'm putting my time into and what I'm going after? Listen, it could be. I got news for you. You know what's happened over the last couple of years especially? Listen, it's this. It's that the desert, watch this now. You had an entire generation born in the desert. They know nothing but being nomads, being transient. I'm going to talk about this a little bit next week, but they know nothing but going outside their tent and gathering up for food every morning what the Old Testament called manna. In the Hebrew, that word manna can be translated to what is this? That's what it is. There was this flaky stuff called, and it was this, the Bible says God supernaturally provided that with the dew of the morning. And they walk out of the thing, and they say, what is this? And they're like, I don't know, let's eat it. And that's all they know. Their entire life. All they know is moving around Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb and just walking around circles and mountains. Pick up the camp, put it all together, pack it up, let's go. Unpack the camp, let's go. And that's all they know. Their entire existence is in the desert, is in the wilderness. But it is that generation that was born in the desert that God would say, you guys are going to cross over and possess the promise. Me too. A daggone it. I had my phone on not vibrate last week. Now everybody, now mine's off. We got to keep our phones on. I'm just kidding. This is what I'm trying to say. If you're looking around and you got some stuff in your life that feels different, looks different, has a totally different vibe, you look around and you go, man, I don't know what happened. I didn't do it on purpose. I don't know what happened. Even over the last 2, 3, 4 years maybe, you're like, man, things just look different, feel different, sound different. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, everything's different. I want you to know what's happening here and what is going to happen, what has happened. Listen to me. It's this. It's that the desert, listen, it's that the desert gives birth to that which will possess the promise. What God births in my life in a wilderness season is the very thing that God will anoint to take the promise. So the stuff you're looking around and you feels a little uncomfortable and you're not quite sure what to do with, and you're like, man, this is a totally different thing. I'm a different person. I got some different priorities. Listen, I want you to know that different thing that's been born in your season of wilderness is the thing that God is going to anoint to take you over the Jordan River and into your promised land, because the desert gives birth to that which possesses the promise. The changes that happen in the desert are what cross over into the promised land. Amen? And I got news for you. I have this inkling and this suspicion that you're in this house this morning, you're in this place today. Listen, because whether you realize it or not, or maybe you've always realized it, or maybe you're about to realize it, listen, you and me, we some wilderness folk. We are some wilderness people in this house. I want you to understand, when I talk about a generation and a wilderness generation and a we can't, we won't generation, that has nothing to do with your age. It has everything to do with your heart, your spirit, and your mindset. Amen? There can be people that are 80, 90 years old that have a wilderness mindset. And there can be people that are 20, 30 years old that have a we can't, we won't mindset and spirit about them. This is not about your age. This is about your spirit and what you're allowing God to do in your life. Amen? Amen. And you are probably in this room today because you're probably listening online, and we've connected. Why? Because we are wilderness people. Here's how we're going to figure this out. I want you to ask yourself this question. I want you to imagine this. Do you think that those kids that were born during that track through the wilderness for 40 years, do you think they ever woke up one day, picked up the what is this on the ground, began to eat it? You think they ever looked around and asked themselves, is this it? Is moving from camp to camp, getting quail delivered once a week from heaven and getting bread on the ground, do you think they ever asked themselves, is this all we came out of Egypt for? Of course they did. You think they ever looked at mom and dad and thought, guys, what are we doing? Is this all we're following God for? Like, you think they ever ask themselves, like, is there any more to following this Jehovah God than manna on the ground and dusty tents and sore feet? Is there any more to faith? Is there any more to following God? Is there any more to following the Creator than this? Listen to me, friends. Wilderness people often will have a healthy dissatisfaction. Healthy, big capital letters, bold. Healthy dissatisfaction with the average, with the status quo, and with the way things have always been. Wilderness people will drive religious people, and religious leaders especially, absolutely flipping, stinking crazy. Because you're always challenging. Always asking, why are we doing it this way? Why are we doing the same thing we've done for 15 years and haven't seen any different result? Why don't we try something different? Always asking, is there anything else we can do? Always asking, is this all there is? Is there any more? Is there any more? Is there any more? Anybody feel that in your spirit this morning? Anybody realizing, oh shoot, I didn't know, but I must be a wilderness person. Wilderness people will be dissatisfied with simply going through the motions over and over and over and over again and experiencing zero results. Wilderness people will not be satisfied just to go through the motions without ever seeing any breakthrough or without ever seeing anything real take place. And if you feel that in your heart and your spirit, guess what? You are very likely here, and probably what drew you here is because you are a wilderness person. I'm also a wilderness person myself, so I feel like I'm speaking to family and I can talk about wilderness folk because I am a wilderness folk and I understand us and I get it. Listen to me. We are wilderness people. And let me just speak to where I feel like God is bringing the church. And I don't just mean Red Life Church. I mean His capital C Church, particularly here in America. Listen, I believe that what we are going to see and what we are seeing right now, and one reason why right now by the droves, and it's alarming and we've got to pray about it, we got to figure out a solution, but by the droves, Young believers who have been grown up in church are running away from church. The percentages are staggering. But one reason I believe they're running away is because they are a wilderness generation. And they may have been brought up in traditional religion. They may have even brought up in cool church with lights and guitars and a preacher with a cool jacket and jeans on. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. Whatever you're brought up in, if it doesn't manifest the presence and the glory of God at some point, you're going to start asking, is this all that there is? Is this all there is to following Jesus? Show up, sit down, clap your hands, sing the song. Is this all there is? Sit down, kneel down, open the book, read from that page. Is that all there is? Is this all there is? Watch them do. Is this all there is? Listen, there is a generation right now, a wilderness generation, that is asking that very question. Is this all there is? And if we are a spirit-filled, God-fearing, Bible-believing church, listen, we better be ready to manifest what the real glory and power of God looks like. We better start making some room. Amen, somebody? And what I think a generation is waking up to, and I'll pick on cool church because I think we would have to fall into that category. We may not be that cool, but I think we're realizing, listen now, a cool church may not be enough to cast the devil out. For that, we need to move the Holy Ghost. And that goes the other way too. Traditional church, religion is not going to be enough to cast the devil out either. We need a move of the Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody? What I'm saying is, we've got to wake up and realize it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what lights we have or don't have. It doesn't matter whether we sing from a screen or sing from a book. It doesn't matter whether we're singing the oldest 1611 John Wesley King James only hymns or we're singing the latest Maverick City Elevation Hill song. None of that matters. What matters is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is not a song. It is not the It is not the newness of a song that is going to break the yoke off of a generation. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, that is going to break the yoke. It is not the style of the Lord. It is the Spirit of the Lord that breaks the yoke. Amen, somebody? And we better wake up and go, you know what? The style is this or that. It's here or there. But what we really are hungry for and what we really want and what we really need is the Spirit of the sovereign God to move in our midst, move beyond these walls, and bring a revival to our community, to our family, to a generation that is asking, is this all there? there is. I got news for you if you're asking, is this all there is? No, there is so much more. There is a God who loves you, a Jesus who died for you, who sent his very living breath to live on the inside of you. And that breath will bring life to your body, health to your bones, freedom to your soul, redemption to your family, and every other thing that you can imagine. Friend, there is so much more. In the book of Deuteronomy, I'm about to preach now. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2, one of the most amazing statements is made in all Scripture. Moses, the man of God, this is the end of his life, Deuteronomy. And he makes this statement. Now remember, this is not Aaron, this is not Miriam, this is not some low-level Levite that we've never heard his name. This is Moses. You know what I mean? Moses. Moses had so much clout that he showed up and talked to Jesus in the New Testament thousands of years after he had died. Moses. Moses who parted the Red Sea. Moses who turned the Nile River to blood. Moses who waved his hand and a darkness washed over the face of Egypt that could be felt, the Bible says. Moses who struck a rock and water came out. Moses who saw the burning bush and heard a voice speak from him and say, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people. This is Moses. And at the end of his life, after he's seen and done all these things, Deuteronomy chapter 2, this is what he says. He said, O Lord, you have just begun to show your servant your glory. Now, if at the end of Moses' life, he said, you've only just begun, friend, there is so much more for us to tap into. There is so much more in the presence of God for us to dive into. There is so much more ministry for God to unlock in our lives. There is more. But to get it and to receive it and to get after it, we're going to have to kill. I can't. And I'm going to have to murder. I won't. Because there is a promise that needs to live. Yeah. Amen, somebody? And you're a wilderness person. If that resonated with you, you're a wilderness person. You're a wilderness generation. There's some of you online, some of you in this room. You've gotten run out, kicked out, and just been genuinely dissatisfied with every church you've ever tried to go into. For whatever reason you're here, you've stuck it out. You know why? Because you're a wilderness person. Amen. I'm not here to say we're perfect and we got to figure it out. We don't, and I don't. But what I have figured out is that there's more, and I'm going to go after it. Amen, somebody. Amen. You're a wilderness person. Stand all over this place. And if you're a wilderness person this morning, I've got some good news for you. If you're sitting at home in your living room right now this morning or wherever you are today, maybe even later in the week, you're a wilderness person and you're knowing that, you realize that, you're awakening to that in your life, I got good news for you. Listen to me, friends. Listen to me, family. Listen to me, wilderness generation. Listen to me, wilderness people. Listen to me, people who have been born in the desert and asked, is there more? Listen, we are entering into a season where I believe God is changing the name from wilderness people to people of the promise. God is bringing you through a season. God is leading us to maybe like never before cross over. Why? Because God's about to change your name and your identity. from born in the desert to laying hold of the promise. I'm going to receive that right now for your life. Come on, lift your hands up in this place. Lift your hands up in this place. Let's begin to pray. Come on, let's just begin to receive that for our lives right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Kurabashiti elaboko sanda bakasate. I sense the Holy Spirit doing a deep work in hearts right now. I sense the Holy Spirit doing an identity change right now in somebody's life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray right now, God, I pray that you will begin to stir up wilderness people. God, stir up wilderness people. God, stir up wilderness people. God, to be people of the promise right now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, begin to stir us up. Stir up wilderness people. Stir up wilderness folks, God. Stir up people who have been frustrated and dissatisfied. Stir up people, God, who have been hungry for something more. God, I think that you are calling us, God, to something more, God. You're calling us, Lord, to cross over out of the desert into the promises of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a wilderness person, you know God's calling you to possess the promise. I want you to get out of your seat and run to this altar right now in Jesus' name. Come on. You know God's calling you to cross. You know God's calling you out of the desert. Come on, get out of your seat. Let's come down around this altar. Let's pray for a moment in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, as you come, just begin to pray. Just begin to worship.